It's the most unjust tax for Pennsylvanians that I can think of, because you're essentially paying a tax in the transaction of purchasing your property, and then you endlessly rent it from the government.
It's the most regressive tax we have.
Welcome to the Straight to the Point podcast. I'm Representative Joe DiOrsi, and I am in studio today with Senator Don Kiefer of the 31st Senate District. We actually overlap quite a deal in York County, and this is not your first time on Straight to the Point.
It is
not. I think you were my inaugural cast. So, property taxes.
Yes.
I've been in office for 3 years. It's by far the top issue that I hear from my constituents, and it's an acute problem in York County. So we're going to talk today about Senate Bill 962, which you've introduced, and there is a House version, House Bill 1649, which is carried by Representative Fink. But paint a broad brush here at the beginning. What was the genesis of this effort?
Sure. So there's been many property tax initiatives over the year. When I started in the House, right, this is the number one issue I heard at the doors. It's what I heard in my office. Now, it's not what I ran on, but I mean, overwhelmingly, that is the number one issue. It was in my House district, and it continues in the Senate. When I was in the House, I came in with Frank Ryan at that time, and Frank's an accountant, and this was his issue. This is what he came in for. So he had worked with different players over the years prior to getting into the General Assembly and while he was here. And actually, Frank was the main architect of this bill, and he drafted all the language. He introduced it. He took a beating initially, and when he left, he asked, would I pick it up? Was I interested in it? And I was. I said, you know, with the caveat that we make some corrections and we fine-tune some things. So we've taken the time to do that. Representative Fink has the sister bill in the House. They're identical bills. And it is, you know, trying to figure out how do we eliminate the school property tax. That's the one you get in the fall, the big one. And then how do you replace those revenues? Because it's a tax shift. You still have those expenses that you're going to have to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, with some of the revisions that we did, that this was the most palatable and actually realistic plan that could do that.
So I was a little bit naive. I'm a co-sponsor of Rep. Fink's bill. I think it's the most unjust tax for Pennsylvanians that I can think of, because you're essentially paying a tax in the transaction of purchasing your property, and then you endlessly rent it from the government.
It's the most regressive tax we have, because it's not based upon anybody's ability to pay. It's based upon some assessor's opinion of what they believe your property to be worth. So you take somebody like my grandmother, who bought her house back in the early 50s, $6,500, and when she passed, it was over $200,000 is what she was paying property taxes on. And so we had to fix that. We have to, and just cutting into it or adjusting it, you know, and the different initiatives we've had, it gave us some short-term relief for maybe a year, and then the taxes would rise or the millage rate would rise, whatever it was, and we were back to where we started, and we've gotten no legitimate relief.
Yeah, there's been exemptions that we've tackled since I've been in the House for veterans, for seniors, you know, the tax rent rebate program. They're all fine, but when we're trying to attract young families to our state, look, when we give exemptions for veterans and seniors, that adds more, you know,
for working families.
To the bill for working families. So
yeah,
this is a comprehensive plan.
Yes.
Let's talk about challenges. I was naive when I first came in to the House thinking that this is a home run issue. This has to be the same in every district across the state. But in York and other areas like the Philadelphia suburbs,
the Northeast,
mm-hmm. But elsewhere, it's not really the same.
Right.
So can you talk about the challenges?
Yes. This is not a partisan issue. It is a geographical issue. And that is because we do not fund our schools uniformly in the Commonwealth. So we have something called Hold Harmless. That means a school district may never get less than they got the year before. So as you have towns that are losing populations because they lost businesses, they continue to get the same amount of money. So think when the steel industry was booming, right? They got a lot of money, and those all went away, and those school districts continue to get the same amount of money. And then that's less to give the areas like we live in, Cumberland and York, that are seeing growth, right? They're getting minimal amounts. Now, we have all the new funding that goes through education, just new appropriated dollars will go through a funding formula. But all that other legacy, all those legacy dollars go through that old antiquated formula. I have a colleague who has a graduating class of 47 students, right? And that school district continues to get the same. So that's first and foremost. So if you go to someplace, say Bedford, your property tax, I think on average they're $800. My district is $3,800, mm-hmm. right? It's a lot different. And then I was in Southern York. We did a town hall this past weekend. And when I said $3,800, they all laughed.
Yeah.
Like $3,800. We're in Dallastown School District. We wish that that was our property tax. So there's a huge difference. And just to give you an example, on average, South Central Pennsylvania schools, this is average, not all of them, about 30%. That's all they get from the state. So mm-hmm. the taxpayers pick up that other 70%. You go to Bedford, and you're around 80% that the state gives. So the taxpayers only have to pick up 20%.
Yep.
And that's the issue that we're dealing with.
And it's harder to move legislation. It's harder to get buy-in from a Bedford rep where it's not the number one issue that they hear about.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So that's been the challenge of this. So when we came up with the plan, we understand this isn't something that's getting passed this year, this session, probably not next session. But we got to get out there and educate the public so they can understand it and they can actually see how it would impact them, you know, get a chance to answer all those, or get all their questions mm-hmm. answered so that we can try to move something forward. Because at the end of the day, Pennsylvania's broken. We just got an IFO report on our demographics. The number one growing population is the 65 plus.
Yep.
It's all retirees. We're a destination state for retirees. Retirees are great, but you can't drive an economy on retirees.
Yep.
And meanwhile, we're losing all of our working talents. And what can we do to keep our young talent, that all of our workers here to help drive our economy?
And this is potentially a remedy for that. So you've been traveling the state doing these town halls. In fact, we have one in my district in Emmigsville on April 30th at the Alert Fire Company from 5 to 7. Looking forward to that. So tell me about really the nuts and bolts of this bill.
Okay.
Because the common questions that I've got are, how would it affect me? What do we do about the revenue windfall? And how do we fund our schools? Right. So walk me through this tax shift, and if you can, answer some of those questions.
Sure. Okay, so first of all, the local share statewide for education is $17.5 billion. So that's what we're looking to replace. And we're able to do that through an increase of the income tax, increase of the sales tax. And the only thing that we would broaden on the sales tax would be we would extend it to clothing, candy, and gum.
Okay.
The clothing, candy, and gum would be 2%. So it wouldn't be 8%. It would just be 2 on that.
Okay. Okay?
So,
and what are the increments of the sales?
1.88 increase for the income tax. And a 2% increase on the sales tax. The sales tax would be collected at the county level would be, and then they would drive it out per pupil.
Okay.
The income tax would be at the school district level, and they would drive it out again, you know, into their budget. So that's been an issue in the past with other bills, is that they didn't trust the state to collect all of those dollars. They don't get their fair share now, and they didn't trust Harrisburg to collect all of it. So trying to address those two issues was have those additional dollars collected there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing that it does, so while it increases 1.88% on your income tax, it applies to all income. So now your pensions, your retirements, your withdrawals on those. So the dollars, the earnings of those plans. So whatever you haven't already paid taxes on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in Pennsylvania, we pay on the front end, and then we don't tax anything on the pensions on the back end. Most other states, I think there's only two other states that do it that way. Most other states are, you don't pay in the front, you pay it all in the back. So we are a destination state for retirees because of that. Mm-hmm. So us being close to that Maryland line, we get a lot of Maryland retirees because they lived in Maryland, didn't pay on the front end, moved to Pennsylvania, don't pay on the back end. So trying to negate that. And then it doesn't tax, but that 1.88 or the income in general would not extend to Social Security. It would not extend to, if you haven't paid into Social Security, so there's some civil service, state police, railroad, teachers before, I think it was 1990, who retired, didn't pay into Social Security. So their pension is their Social Security. Mm-hmm. That's not taxed. And military is not taxed. Roth IRAs are not taxed because you've already paid the tax on the front end of those, so those wouldn't be taxed either. So as you withdraw now, you would pay tax on whatever the earnings are. Now, there's also a discount that you get because we paid on the front end. Most of your accountants or whoever your pension program managers are, they can give you what that figure is that you've already paid on. If not, we give you a flat 15% deduction of whatever that year's earnings are, and that's you're taxed 15% less of whatever those earnings are. So that's the big, everybody, whoa, wait a minute, you don't get to touch my pension.
Yeah.
Right? But understand, most of them are using their pension to pay their property taxes.
Yeah.
Right? You get to keep your house. Right? It's not on the chopping block now because you didn't pay your school taxes. So there is a trade-off. Now, and I tell everybody before you go up in arms, I use my parents as a litmus initially, and they were pretty hostile initially. Go to our website. It's noprop.tax. And there is a calculator there, and you can put in your numbers, and it will tell you how you will make out on this under this plan, if you'll pay more or if you'll pay less. If it does come out that you'll pay more, it will tell you how many years until you break even. Because it's based upon, that calculator is based upon today's tax rates.
Mm-hmm.
And our school taxes go up year over year. They're going up in most school districts every single year. Because they are told by their association, if you don't increase property taxes to the maximum amount allowable by law before having to go to a referendum, you are losing money. And so they're all, right, that they all get into that mode. Okay, raise them.
Yeah. So the property tax calculator that you mentioned is also on my website. You can find it in the tabs in the upper menu. I can see the need, because we just went over a lot of details, I can see the need for this tour that you're doing. So I'm happy that you, Wendy, and Frank are coming to my district on April 30th. 5 to 7 at Alert Fire Company. Any parting words about this bill?
So once you go to the website and you can get additional information too, because I know I gave a lot of information here. If you have questions, reach out to us because I'm happy to work through some of those questions. This also, another issue that people have brought during these town halls or concern is that, well, what's going to stop a school district from just spending anyway? So under this, it drives out the way the dollars are driven out. There's a lot more intricacies in it. It's over 300 pages long to try to get at everything. But the school district, basically, you have a budget, that's it. You don't stay within that budget. You get turned over to basically a fiscal planner to help you resolve it. If that can't be resolved, the school district gets dissolved into surrounding school districts.
Okay.
So it helps to put pressure on there of, hey, this is
spend within
you don't
your
have
means.
Anymore.
Yep.
So this is going to help us get at that spending issue. It's not the silver bullet, but this is going to help reel in that, because understand, Pennsylvania, we've lost 150,000 students over the last 25 years. And in that same time, we hired over 30,000 additional school employees, with over 60% of them being administrators.
Yeah.
Something's got to give there too, and this helps to put the pressure on that to get to right size that.
Yeah, very interesting plan. I support it. Co-sponsor of Wendy's bill, and we look forward to having you Emmonsville on April 30th.
Yeah, I was going to say, anybody who has questions, I encourage you to come out to that, because we will have a lot of information.
Yeah, we'll be there, and we'll take your questions. And this is the Straight to the Point podcast. Thanks again, Dawn, for joining me. She represents the 31st Senate District in York County and sections of Cumberland.
Yes.
So thanks for tuning in, folks.
This has been Straight to the Point. Visit repjod.com/mypodcasts.